This is Raw 1251 AM.
It has just gone midday here on your student radio station, Raw 1251 AM. Now it's time to discuss the news. And where do we begin? This is Insights. Welcome to the first show of the academic year, the flagship news show that gives Warwick students the chance to discuss the stories that matter both on and off campus. I'm James Lewis, your head of news, and I'll be in the chair for the next hour. We're going to be discussing the Conservative Party conference and asking, where are the Tories at the moment? Are they gearing up for a general election campaign or looking towards a battle of ideas and leaderships to come afterwards? HS2 has also been in the focus and will be keeping tabs on the Prime Minister's speech, where it's expected that he'll announce the Birmingham to Manchester line will be scrapped. And over on Instagram, you can answer our question. After Priti Patel and Nigel Farage were filmed dancing the night away together at conference, what politician would you like to do karaoke with? I'll be interested to see what you have to say. And on campus, we're going to be thinking about the year ahead. What is to come here at Warwick over the next academic year? As always, it is great to hear your thoughts. You can send us a message through the messages tab on our website or on social media. On Twitter, or X as I should probably now call it, we're at Raw News Warwick, and on Instagram we're at Raw1251 News. Now I've got some eager panellists here in the studio ready to give their takes on the week's stories. So it's time I let them introduce themselves. Let's start on my left. Who have we got in the studio?
Hello, I'm Angel and I'm a final year history student.
Hi, my name's Glazel. I'm a finalist English literature student.
Hello, my name's Ethan. I'm a politics student in my first year.
Very good. This all felt very university challenge.
Should have had the...
yeah. Well, we haven't spoke since... been on Insight since Warwick won their first round in university challenge against one of the Cambridge colleges. Maybe we'll have to discuss that a little bit later on. But let's start the show with a bit of Two Door Cinema Club. This is Sure Enough.
You can only guess a first at Warwick if you listen to Raw Daily. This is your student radio station.
It certainly is your student radio station, Raw 1251 AM. We are here with Insight. And the first topic of discussion is going to be the Conservative Party conference, because it is the season for party conferences, where politicians and members of political parties come together to hear speeches and leaders. I've completely forgotten to introduce the guest that's also just joined us in the room. I've gone straight into
it.
It's okay, Seth. Is it okay? Is it really?
It is okay.
Welcome, Seth.
Here, that's what's important.
Okay, it's great.
I need to know who I am.
It's great to have you, Seth. I'm very, very sorry. But I'm sure you're excited to talk about party conference season, particularly the Conservative Party conference. If you haven't come across these things before, members of political parties and the politicians, they can come together to hear speeches from their leaders and attend what are called fringe events. So these are things like discussions, Q&As and workshops on a range of different policy areas. The Liberal Democrats were in Bournemouth last week, and Labour will be in Liverpool on Sunday. The Conservatives, well, they've been in Manchester, and it's the final day of their conference today, with Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's speech being the main event as he's taken to the stage right now. Now, there is so much that we could discuss about this party conference. We're going to discuss and touch on the future of HS2 a little bit later. But let's start with our general impressions of what we've seen over the past few days. I'll start with you, Seth. What have you made of the Conservative Party conference? Have you taken any notice of it, first of all?
It's been hard to, I suppose, have it on my radar, because I feel like the fate of the Conservative Party has been somewhat sealed over the past few months. They're not doing too great, and I think the conference, because of that, has kind of taken a back seat in my mind, because it might, you know, if things continue as they're going, they only have a year or so left to implement a lot of the policies that are being discussed. But as far as what's being discussed at the conference goes, I think it reflects the fact that the Conservative Party is quite divided on where to go next. You've got former Prime Minister putting her pitch out for what she experimented with a year ago. We've got the Home Secretary doubling down on anti-refugee rhetoric, which interestingly, always seems to be notably different to the rhetoric that the Prime Minister is putting out. Obviously, so
this was in reference to the Suella Braverman's the Home Secretary speech yesterday, in which immigration was a major talking point. We might as well jump straight to that then. Let's have a listen to one of the lines from her speech yesterday.
Now, one of the most powerful forces reshaping our world is unprecedented mass migration. The wind of change that carried my own parents across the globe in the 20th century was a mere gust compared to the hurricane that is coming. Because today, the option of moving from a poorer country to a richer one is not just a dream for billions of people, it is an entirely realistic prospect.
Yeah. So that was a section of Suella Braverman's speech to the Conservative conference yesterday. Now, Ethan, one of the major policies that the Home Secretary has been pursuing has been around migration, and has been about small boat crossings across the Channel and people smuggling gangs, but also, I suppose, the numbers of migration more generally. What did you make of her speech? What do you make of what we've just heard?
I think it's quite interesting, because if you speak to many of the Conservative Party members around in the conference who go to the, who went there, most of them are saying Braverman's speech is probably one of the only ones that they took any interest in, and that's particularly because she stood out in comparison to any to the other speakers, and she is saying the sort of stuff that the Red Wall, the North, it does appeal to them, and whereas you have a Labour Party which is scared to actually look at this issue, take this issue seriously. I think it's quite interesting how what Suella Braverman says, she used the hurricane rhetoric. And if you look at Labour's response to that, I believe they didn't actually attack that rhetoric. And I think it's quite interesting as to why that is. I think the last time they did attack the rhetoric, it didn't go down very well with the electorate. There was the hysteria didn't go down well, so they're sort of saying, well, actually the Tory party don't have a good record on immigration, so why are they coming out with this endless rhetoric and not actually carrying out any of the implementing the policies? And I think it's interesting what Seth was saying about how Sunak has sort of a very different opinion on immigration to Suella Braverman, and obviously you have Priti Patel as well in the conference talking in the sort of the same manner. But there seems to be some division within the Tory party. It's just whether is the Tory party going to stick with Suella Braverman's hardline immigration approach, or is Sunak going to cave in like he has done and just stick to the status quo?
I thought it was interesting that she used the phrase wind of change, because I remember hearing it originally, and it just reminded me of a speech that we actually learnt about in A-level history, Harold Macmillan addressing the population of South Africa when splitting from the Commonwealth, or like decolonizing South Africa. So it's very much a phrase that she kind of used this of, sorry to be very English lit, but like she has this juxtaposition of winds of change, like it's very soft, and like she's saying that but then now it's like a hurricane. And I'm gonna agree with Ethan here, it's just very much like she's got this hard line, but Sunak lent into him being an immigrant and him descending from an immigrant family in his campaign. And it's very much a case of, like, I've thought that the Tory party has lent more into identity politics just to appeal to specific groups of voters. And you can see that now even with a lot of people on news sites. Even, like, in India, like, I've watched that a lot of people were very inspired by Sunak because he looks like them. So, you know, they would very much identify with him.
And this is, as I think we've touched on, has been a point of contention with the Conservative Party and how they go about immigration policy. The reports are that each line by line, it was agreed, the Prime Minister or the Conservative team agreed with Suella Braverman's speech before it was given, the reports about that. But it's interesting to see that there have been other figures that have taken aim at the speech, or maybe not taken aim, but have questioned some of the rhetoric or some of the things that have been said. Steve Baker, the Minister of State for Northern Ireland, being one, and Kemi Badenoch as well, the Business Secretary. And this is what she said, reported by Guido Fawkes at an event yesterday at the conference. She said, "We live in a multiracial society, but we have to be very careful about how we explain and express immigration policies so that people aren't getting echoes of things that were less palatable." Now, Angel, what do you think about Suella Braverman's speech and some of the other opinions about immigration that have been coming out of the Conservative Party?
I think it's quite interesting to see how the party focused on the boat, because actually there are many refugees coming to the UK from different sources. For example, I have looked at some data saying that actually refugees from Afghanistan or Ukraine is actually much higher than the number of refugees coming from the boat. But obviously the Conservative Party only focus on the boat, and I don't think that is an effective way to tackle the problem of immigration, because they only compose a very small amount and proportion of refugee. And also you can see that probably the Conservative Party cannot appeal to the big group of refugee in the UK, because there are so many people from different countries now, and the country is just so multi-ethnic nowadays.
I suppose this small boat is coming up once again in this discussion. It is one of the stopping the small boats is one of the Conservative pledges that they have made and the Prime Minister has stood by. But do you think that it is the Conservatives are going in the right way around it? Do you think that they are taking small boat crossings and taking action to stop them? That's for anyone on the panel.
I think when it comes to the small boats problem, any rhetoric that is sort of anti-France, which has been the case in the past few years, I remember Liz Truss said the jury was out on whether France was an ally of the UK or not. I think if people are going to stop coming over in boats, we need to, you know, cut a deal with the authorities in France, because that is the source of a lot of people trying to cross the channel in that way. And there's a lot of sort of finger pointing. I know there have been some improvements lately, I believe, although I cannot quite remember. But France and the UK both need to put money together to construct a processing system that will allow people safe passage across the channel, if that is what is required, or to stay in France if that is a suitable option as well.
Does anybody else have any thoughts on this, particularly with reference to the speech and what we've heard at the Conservative Party conference?
I was thinking more on like the small boat like immigration method. It's just like they've used that, especially in the recent years, with the harrowing photos of the one boy who laid out on the beach from a few years ago. But there's also other methods of illegal immigration that the Tory party haven't actually tackled. For example, like people sneaking through like trailer trucks and even street trains and things like that. And you see these you can see border police trying their best, and they've really cracked down on that. But with the small boat problem, they've put such massive emphasis on that because of how it's like it adds to this image of the hurricane that Suella Braverman is talking about. So they're really using it to kind of emphasise this rhetoric.
I was just going to say, in terms of what they've done so far, so they've come up with the Rwanda scheme, which has failed, and you have to look at these policies and think, well, how are they actually going to be implemented? Because you can come up with any old policy, but if the framework and the legislation behind doesn't allow you to do that, implement the policy, then you're not going to actually end up doing anything at all. And we've seen with the European Court of Human Rights, there's a lot of controversy behind that. But if we're really going to serious about tackling this immigration crisis, we do have to put some of these things on the table and think, well, actually, how are we going to deport people when we're in, when we're part of this framework which doesn't allow us to do so? Mm. And then there's another argument, we're going to somehow find these countries. Something needs to be done about it, but whether the Tories have the answer is another question, because their track record is woeful, I don't see any improvements happening at all.
But the government would say that in exploring these options, like the Rwanda scheme, that they are trying to see what they can do. They're exploring every avenue possible, and they would also say that there are safe and legal routes for people. And we've seen things like resettlement schemes for Ukrainians, Afghans, and people from Hong Kong as well. So do you believe that the government should be going further with this?
Well, I think I've looked at different ways of tackling this crisis, and it might be controversial, but the only way you're going to stop these illegal boats coming into the country is to tow them back to France and to intercept them within the channel, and that may make the French grumpy for a few weeks, it may upset a few people, but if you think about it, if you look at what Tony Abbott did in Australia, his scheme of intercepting the boats, and we're not saying that we're not accepting legal asylum claims. That's not the argument here. We're talking about a criminal enterprise where people smugglers are being trying to get these people into our country, and they're profiting from it.
Mm-hmm. And we have another guest who has joined us in the studio. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Ben. I'm currently doing first year politics.
Well, welcome to Insight, Ben.
Hello.
We might as well ask you about, we've been talking about the Conservative Party conference. Is this something that you've been paying attention to at all?
Yeah, a little bit. I think I've just been sort of looking at the main highlights, that appear on Twitter and stuff. I should say X, but I'm not doing that. that appear on Twitter every day. that's all really. So I've seen a few of the highlights, but I have a feeling some people in this room probably followed it better than me.
Well, we've talked about Suella Braverman's speech, and I think that's led us to the point of thinking about where the Conservative Party is at the moment, rather than just being in Manchester, where they are as a party. Are they getting ready for a general election campaign where they're going to be able to go out and try and win? Or is there more of an idea about a leadership battle or a battle of ideas that could come after a general election defeat? Now, this is something that has been speculated by or discussed by people in the media when we're thinking about Suella Braverman's speech. Sources saying that it hasn't really harmed her chances. I believe that was one of the quotes from the Politico Daily newsletter yesterday. We've also got figures like Henry Badenoch, who's talking about these ideas and has presented a different view to the Home Secretary. But you've also got groups like the New Conservatives, like Miriam Cates, discussing different ideas about where Conservatives should be, particularly on social issues. So do we think that they're gearing up to take on a general election campaign, or are they thinking more longer term about the future of the party?
I think I've noticed recently that Suella Braverman's gone quite a lot more hardline on her immigration stance. I think previously she sort of danced around the question a bit, but around the time of the conference she's sort of become a lot more passionate about her stance, with all the stuff about multiculturalism that she was talking about and how that's failed. But I think there's loads of different factors that can play into that sort of more hardline stance. And I think one of them is definitely trying to be a lot more clearer in terms of policies for the next general election, because I think one of Rishi Sunak's at least main aims that he's trying out over the next course of the next year, it'll probably be, is a sort of culture wars idea, similar to what Ron DeSantis is sort of doing in America, you know, where you have two sides and it's in an attempt to try and energise your voter base a bit more and get them out to vote, which I think the Tories are going to really struggle with this time next year, when there probably will be a general election, mainly because a lot of people just feel quite dishevelled about the Conservatives at the minute, given all that's happened over the course of the Boris Johnson period and, of course, Liz Truss's tenure. we don't talk about that.
The letters.
Yes. but I think also you can see them planning for the future a bit. And I think you can also see that really from the Labour side as well, because I think one main criticism of like Keir Starmer at the minute is that he doesn't really stand for anything. You just sort of see him at the front of the Labour Party every week in PMQs, and then that's about it. And I think that, at least I would place my bet on, the reason why he's doing that is because he knows that given the state of the Conservative government at the minute, he can sort of ride by a bit unnoticed in the next general election. And then by the time the next general election comes around, and any problems that he might have faced during his tenure, that the Conservatives try to bring back up in attempt to win again, he can just pull out all of these different policies and then say, look at me, I'm a new modern prime minister, vote for me. And so I think you can sort of see planning from both sides, really, but I do think that it's probably more noticeable from Labour than the Conservatives, just because the Conservatives seem to be in such a messy state at the minute, both in terms of their government and in terms of their support from the people. Yeah,
and we have some breaking news from the Prime Minister's speech. Rishi Sunak has announced that he is cancelling the rest of the HS2 project. So anything from the London to Birmingham leg that is being built is what is currently happening under construction, but everything beyond that is going to be cancelled. He says that every penny saved on cancelling HS2 will be spent on transport. And talks about the new transport projects that will be happening in the North and the Midlands. We'll come to HS2 as a whole topic shortly. But Angel, final word on this section about the Conservative Party conference. Do you think the Conservatives are ready to take on the next election, judging by their party conference?
Well, I think the conference really revealed how divided they are. Like the refugee policy and also the education policy. Like Rishi Sunak is very strong and firm on the education reform, but you can see that there are many members of the Conservative Party that don't really support him. So I think it's a really good opportunity to show to the public like that internal division and to allow the public make a more informed choice. Maybe the voters are just more confused.
Well, that has been the Conservative Party conference, which we'll keep talking about after this with that announcement about HS2. This is John Glacier and Surf Gang with Wait For Me.
Introducing the Warwick History Hour, a brand new show in collaboration with the University of Warwick History Department.
Each week, we will interview a member of the History Department on their niche interest.
And hello and welcome to the Warwick History Hour. My name's Izzy Bailey and this is my brand new show.
But the thing that kind of struck me is that the law and the way the law is practiced is inherently performative.
There's stories that are told about how particular Peruvian dishes map out the country.
Any of my professors go, is it the one who studied potatoes? And this year, I was finally able to say yes. Yes, it is.
Tune in each week or listen back on Spotify.
Online
on 12:51 AM.
Your student radio station.
Looking for a student job? Join UniTemps now and find out about the upcoming positions and opportunities for you. Earn while you learn, as UniTemps offers many student jobs on and off campus. Also partnering with local businesses around the University of Warwick, you can find jobs that can develop and expand your CV. Many of us at Raw have used the huge range of roles UniTemps provides.
Hi, I'm Ryan, Raw's head of production, and I work at the Sports and Wellness Hub as a ledger attendant.
Hi, I'm Saskia. I'm a graduate from Warwick and I used to work at the Radcliffe and Scarman as a food and beverages assistant.
Offering work in retail, hospitality and events, UniTemps even offers graduate roles and internships, so it's never too late to apply. Go to their website or visit their offices at Senate House to find out more. Look out for the new UniTemps offices coming soon to the ground floor of the SU.
Listen to Raw if you want your seminar tutors to like you. This is your student radio station.
So this is Insight here on Raw 12:51 a.m. We have been discussing the Conservative Party conference and the speech being given by the Prime Minister at the moment. And we have just had word that HS2 will be scrapped on the Birmingham to Manchester leg. Now, this has been something that has been speculated, has been in the media for, well, over the past few days. We've had several political editors going out and saying this is the information that we've got. But there have also been, over the past few weeks, lots of discussions about whether this is going to happen. Now, earlier on in the day, Grant Shapps, the new Defence Secretary, said that trains will still run to Manchester, but on slower tracks. This was something that the Mayor of Tees Valley had supported, saying that he was in favour because of the funds that this project would then end up being spread across different regions on different projects. But there has been division within the party, particularly from Mayor of the West Midlands, Andy Street, who before today had not ruled out resigning over this issue. So to go over what has been announced, so far we know that the rest of the HS2 project, so any from Birmingham up, has been cancelled. The Prime Minister says that all the money that would have been spent will be reinvested from HS2, which he says is £36 billion. These will go to new transport projects in the north and the Midlands in particular, but also across the country. He said every region outside of London will receive the same or more government investment than they would have done under HS2 with quicker results. We have a little bit more detail about some of these transport promises that have just been made. One of them, interestingly enough, is to help Andy Street, the Mayor of the West Midlands, extend the West Midlands Metro. Some of the other projects are protect the £12 billion link up to Manchester and Liverpool as planned, but it won't be a high-speed rail, as has been trailed by Grant Shapps already today. There'll be a West Midlands rail hub connecting 50 stations. There'll also be different motorway upgrades, so the A1, A2, A5 and M6. And then there'll also be a boost of links between Scotland and Northern Ireland, road resurfacing and other different lines having upgrades. So I suppose... Where do we go? But get our reaction to
where do
this,
we even
to
start?
This breaking story. Glazel,
yes.
Would you like to give your reaction to the story?
I think it was just the fact that during the song break, you were like, oh, they're planning to build another station in Euston, or like another development centre in Euston. That, as someone who is from London, we don't need a third Euston station. The place is already packed enough. We have Euston Square, we have the main Euston place, which is already like always packed to the brim. It's like one of my least favourite stations whenever I commute. And then you've got another one. And London's just going to become more congested. And then it's going to be issues of like, yeah, it will make transport quote-unquote easier, but it's literally the same train line. Like, we've already got two. We've got Avanti West Coast, we've got London North Western, and then we're going to have HS2 doing the exact same route. And I don't know, it's just like I feel bad for the protesters almost, that they've kind of done this out of futility, and then now they're only going to do it on slow rail. And like, I feel really bad for my northern friends, because the transport links are so terrible already, and the only sort of improvement that they dance around is through making slower rail trains. Like, I thought we were going to, like, I thought HS2 was going to bring efficiency. Like, they were modelling it after, like, the bullet trains in Japan, but I guess the Tory government didn't want to go all the way through with it.
So, what you said about Euston is what has been called the Euston Development Zone, is what Rishi Sunak has called it. So, the line will run to Euston Station. There was speculation that the line would stop at somewhere called Old Oak Common, but it will run to Euston. But he says that HS2 management will no longer run the project there because mistakes and mismanagement of the project have been made effectively. Can I get other reactions to this announcement? Ben, you seem to be eager to comment.
I mean, he talks about like mismanagement and stuff. I mean, how much did he say was going to be reinvested in transport by scrapping the HS2 line in that section? I can't remember.
$36 billion.
I mean, I've literally, it's taken me 2 seconds on Google. In France, similar projects to HS2 cost $46 million per mile. That price difference is ridiculous. So I don't know what has gone on with the sort of management in HS2 and all that sort of stuff. But the fact that it costs such an expensive amount. I mean, we always see that with loads of different projects. In other countries, it's completely different. And I don't understand why, you know, HS2 would cost what it has. So I think that there definitely is some form of mismanagement there. But that doesn't mean that it's okay to just scrap the entire thing. Because I think a metaphor for HS2 really is the divide between north and south. And the fact that places around London always get 10 tons amount more investment than places like Leeds and Manchester do all the way up in the north. And the fact that this is being scrapped now is just really showing to everybody in the north of the country that Rishi Sunak doesn't really care about what they do as long as he can invest more into London.
I was going to agree with you because I just looked at about how much it cost to build the Elizabeth line. It was £9 billion just to go from Reading to, I actually forgot what the last station is. Like, yeah, it's more convenient for people in London, but what about the north? Like, they could have easily, we already had transport links that were good enough in London. We didn't really need it. Like, it was more convenient for people, but it just shows that, I think there's very much like a very London-centric like rhetoric when it comes to transport.
I don't really understand that because I think the north of England is just as important as south. Of course, they don't have London, which is considered to be the sort of central hub of the UK, obviously, because it's the capital. Mm-hmm. But just because London is more popular, that doesn't mean that you're allowed to just skate around the issue when it comes to transport links for the north.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many different instances where it's severely lacking, and HS2 would have really benefited with that. And the fact that it's being scrapped now, it baffles me because you just think that like that's exactly what the north needs really when it comes to like trying to link it better to all these big cities like London. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you're just saying no basically, I don't understand the logic behind it really.
Well, the people that would support this decision, and we've already heard from the mayor of Tees Valley, Ben Houchin, earlier in the day, supporters of this would say, actually, being able to give this money that could have been spent on this spiralling project and upgrading infrastructure in the north so people can be able to get from one place to the other by train or via motorway in the north is a better investment of money. I'm going to bring Ethan in on this. Do you agree with that sentiment, that actually spending money in the north, money that could have been spent on HS2, is going to be more beneficial?
Well, I think from the very start, HS2 was more of a vanity project. It was trying to create the illusion that we have a government that actually wants to connect the north to the south, when in reality the whole project was a bloated disaster. I think we heard the Alistair Darling, one of the architects behind the scheme, actually came out recently and said, well, although he actually helped construct the scheme itself, he didn't think would be stupid enough to carry out the policy. And this is one of the guys who introduced it. So I really didn't see through it from the start. And it's all about this, you know, the soundbite nonsense we get about the Northern powerhouse or levelling up, where nothing ever actually gets done. And what we really need to do is invest in local infrastructure across the country to link the north to the south, and that's investing in local rail schemes. And we shouldn't be focusing on this one stupid project, which I'm afraid only allows the rich businessmen to get from one part of the country to the other. It allows them to have an extra gin on their way up to Birmingham. It won't help the ordinary working citizen. It will allow them to get to their destination, 20 minutes earlier? Yeah. And they say it's a high-speed line. Well, aren't trains now, they can run up to 160 miles per hour anyway. Speed's not the issue here. It's about linking up the country, and that's what we need to be focusing on.
Definitely. I mean, wasn't there something that was announced earlier this week about levelling up, and they're basically bringing it back in some form? And I swear the caveat to that was basically that it was all in cities or districts where a Tory MP was.
Yes.
And I mean, again, you just look at that and you think it's not about trying to, you know, invest in places that have the most benefit, like London, or to Rishi Sunak, like Tory constituencies. It's about trying to bring the country together and link it up and make sure that everybody has fair funding.
Well, this pork barrel politics, I'm sure, will be brought up by every different sort of opposition party and the people that will oppose government decisions of the time. But Andy Street, the mayor of the West Midlands, has been one of the key supporters of HS2, wanting it to stay on course because he believes that stopping the project. He said in an impromptu press conference yesterday that it would be turning your back on an opportunity to level up, saying that directly to the Prime Minister. Angel, what have you made of the cancelling of the HS2 line between Birmingham and Manchester? Is this something that should happen?
I think the party should think about how to prevent the problem of consistent mismanagement in the long term, because you can see the rhetoric of mismanagement have been used in so many different times. For example, the bankruptcy of Birmingham or many different city councils, they are all cause of mismanagement. If the government want to invest this huge sum of money in other transport program, how do they prevent further mismanagement? I think, and also like the financial crisis, considering the financial crisis nowadays, how the government is going to fill this huge hole in their budget. I think the government should be more clear about their future plan and inform the public to make sure that the taxpayer is not paying their money into something without any benefit to them.
And Seth, I'm going to give you the final word on this. So, because we've seen the cancellation of the Birmingham to Manchester and other parts of the line, ideas have been shelved in the past. We see the works that are going on for the London to Birmingham line here. I come from a part of the country where works are going on, going right through the countryside to be able to deliver this London to Birmingham line. Seth, do you think that HS2 is going to be worth it?
I do not think so. I mean, I agree. I agree, I think, with Ethan when he said that HS2 is a vanity project for people, for, you know, people like businessmen, and it's not for the ordinary person. Yeah. You know, ultimately, I think pretty good transport links already exist between London and Birmingham, and it is sort of the wrong part of the project to continue. Whilst it does continue, of course, as well, we're just going to see more habitat destruction, more delays. You know, speaking more personally, there will be closures to roads that students at this university use every day to get between their houses and campus. So I think this has been totally the wrong decision to take on the project.
Okay, so this has been the breaking news that Rishi Sunak has announced that the Birmingham to Manchester line of HS2 will not go ahead, and the money that would have been spent on that will go to various other different projects, transport projects, rail, motorway and tram in the north and the Midlands of the country. So that has been the breaking news that we've been able to react to here on 12:51 a.m. We're going to have a song in a second, but I want to remind you over on Instagram, you can answer the question of what politician would you most like to do karaoke with. We're going to be discussing that and what we're looking forward to this academic year. After this, a bit of love for love here on Raw.
Looking for a bite to eat at the Warwick SU?
Come by the food station for baguettes, burritos and nachos to tantalise your taste buds.
There's even vegan options with a warm or cold meatless menu.
Karaoke, pub grub and lager are on tap at the Dirty Duck.
Latte link-ups at Curiosity for that quick break between classes.
There's something to suit any taste and any budget.
And if you've got a big night in the copper room, start it right at T-Bar with speciality cocktails.
And student-friendly prices during bus stop hours.
Come by the SU and see what we have to offer.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you.
A little bit of Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons here on Insight. That is because we're going to briefly stop the more serious discussion about things like HS2 and the Conservative Party conference to ask, what politician would you like to sing karaoke with? We do the big issues here on Insight. That is because we've seen a video, has been posted online of Priti Patel and Nigel Farage dancing the night away at a Conservative Party conference event to this song, nonetheless. So it's a question that you can go and answer over on Instagram, and Jacob has already got in touch to say he would want to do karaoke with Nigel Farage. Unfortunately, Glay has had to leave us, but she suggested Matt Hancock. Has anybody else got any politicians that they would want to do karaoke with?
I've got an out there one.
Okay.
So I'm a metalhead. I like heavy music, and I was watching a live set from one of my favourite bands the other year, and it was in Indonesia at Yogyakarta Festival, and the president of Indonesia, Joko Widodo, just happens to be a big Megadeth fan as well. So I'd love to get up on stage with the president of Indonesia and belt out a couple of metal tunes.
Okay, going international for our first suggestion. Any others?
Right, hear me out on this. Theresa May. I think we could also get some of those incredible dance moves in as well. You know, a good old... I don't know what it was. It was like a sort of...
some robot
weird,
dance.
Yeah, robot, weird robot dance. Probably unintentionally.
Would it be Dancing Queen by any chance?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, there's so many different possibilities. Also, I feel like she'd be quite nice to hang out with. Like, weirdly enough, I think definitely out of the many Tory prime ministers that we've had over the last, 13 years, I think she's probably seems like the most sort of easygoing out of all of them. So I feel like it'd be nice to sing a bit of Dancing Queen. Strut the dance moves, all that sort of stuff.
My answer is also Theresa May.
Theresa May,
yeah, yes. Because she's literally the first British politician that I know when I grow up. Mm. So I always feel like, oh, if I can, I don't know, meet her in person, it would be fantastic. And I also feel like she will have an interesting music choice and taste.
Definitely.
Yeah, my one's a bit controversial, but I would say this is a guy who enjoys the song YMCA.
Oh, no.
It's a guy who you see he does like his dancing during campaigns. It's Donald Trump. And I think he'd be a bit of a laugh. Whatever you think of the guy, you know, when it comes to karaoke, I think it'd be a bit of... He's a funny character. You'd remember it. And I think it would, yeah, it would be a bit of a laugh. So
Why do I feel like he's either horrific at singing or he'd be like the best singer ever? I feel like there's no in between with
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for the Nick Clegg lip sync video to the Carly Rae Jepsen "I Really Like You" song. I'm still waiting for that, so maybe I should suggest Nick Clegg and we can sing that song together.
Yeah.
A bit of a fun story there. A bit of a fun question asking about the politicians that we'd want to do karaoke with. You can still answer that question on Instagram. You've got another 5 minutes or so left of the show, and I'll read out your answer. You can also get in touch with us here in the studio by using the messages tab on the website. So send a message about anything that we have discussed today. We're also on X at Raw News Warwick, can go there as well. So the final thing that we're going to be discussing today here on Insight is giving us a bit more of a campus focus, thinking about what is to come in the year ahead, what we can look forward to and what we might be interested to get involved in. Now, one thing that you can get involved in very quickly is the autumn elections here at the Students' Union. You're able to nominate yourself for any of the positions that are on offer. There are some part-time officer positions as well as members of the different forums that are on offer, and I believe student reps as well. And you can find more information at warwicsu.com/elections, and you have to nominate yourself by noon on Friday. That is Friday the 6th of October. So that is the SU elections, and SU democracy does make up quite a big part of our year here at Raw, as we cover the Students' Union election results. That is probably my big thing as head of news this year that I get to look forward to, organising our election results coverage. But what are some of the other things that we're looking forward to getting involved in this year? Angel, this is going to be your third year now. You know what happens at Warwick each year. What are you sort of interested in getting involved in or doing?
I don't know. I'm just looking forward to my final year as a student formally and being protected by the academic bubble. So I'm looking forward to everything.
I'm glad we start off strong thinking about academics. I'm glad we've gone sort of there first.
And yeah.
You're still studying, still doing your course, and in history as well. Great degree.
Yeah, it's a great degree. Everyone is very nice, and I'm sure that the reality world will be much worse and much more terrible.
Okay, so I'm glad we have mentioned academics. And we have mentioned the reason really why we're at university. Are there any other things that people are looking forward to this year? Seth, I might come to you as well. You've done a year of university already.
Yeah.
Any particular events or highlights in the yearly calendar at Warwick which first year should really know about?
Well, I'd say again on the academic front, if you're a first year history student, I haven't done any classes for it yet, but I have a general interest. Global history of food is something I'm very much looking forward to this year.
That has also made two other people in this studio very, very excited. Now that you've mentioned the global history of food.
Yeah. So that's what's going on academically. But otherwise, Battle of the Bands was a great event last year that I really enjoyed covering, kind of getting some interviews in with the bands. I'm actually considering entering this year, as well as hopefully, depending on what our coverage will be, getting involved with the coverage of the event. And I'd say that was definitely one of my highlights last year. And, you know, you should go along, see some student bands. They're very good.
Okay, Ben, Ethan, first year at Warwick. Is there anything that's caught your eye already, or anything you're excited for?
Well, I thought since we're in the room, I'd say I am quite interested and looking forward to participating more on Raw Radio.
Yes.
And I've enjoyed it very much today. So yeah, I certainly would enjoy, you know, more political analysis, and where, you know, I know there's perspectives as well, which do some sort of writing. So yeah, any sort of journalism stuff related to politics, I'm very interested in.
Basically, just having a scheduled time and place every week to complain about the news sounds great.
Yep.
I mean, you can't get much better than that, really. of everything, really. I think there's loads of stuff to do, and it'll be nice to try out loads of new things as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really exciting, and I'm glad you're enjoying your first experience of Insight as well. One thing that I think always deserves a mention is some of the things that get put on by the university at big events. So, I mean, we had University Challenge on the Piazza last week. At the beginning of Welcome Week, for people to be able to watch Warwick victorious in their first round fixture. And we wait to see when the next one is going to be. But other things that go on the big screen, when people come together and watch Eurovision as well.
I've heard about that. I'm very excited for that.
It is absolutely amazing, the atmosphere on the Piazza. It is really good, and it's exciting when there's all of the atmosphere around it with the big flags, the food, face painting, scorecards, all the things like that. That should be very, very exciting. So that is some of the things that we can look forward to this year here at Warwick. Well, as we're coming towards the end of Insight, I just want to thank my guests very much for joining me in the studio. Some first-timers, I think majority first-timers here on Insight, which is very, very exciting. And thank you very much for coming and sharing your insights into the news this week. Thank you very much for listening as well and for getting involved in the show through social media. All that's left for me to say is stay here on Raw 1251 AM. Izzy is going to be here with Musicology right after this, so don't go anywhere. I've been James Lewis. Thank you very much for listening. I'll leave you with a bit of Jungkook, Feat Jack Harlow, and 3D. 3D.
Proving student radio can be good sometimes. Raw 1251 AM.